With that, will you bless it? You may be seated. We thank the Father for all things, so we may come and gather in His name to receive His truth. As the old saints would say, the uncompromising word of Almighty Yahweh. And we know that it is uncompromising because it brings about a liberty and a freedom. We're not bound to the law of our flesh. We're not drawn under the captivity of the will of our flesh. But we desire and we seek those things that are pure and profound that the natural man cannot understand. He has no ability to interpret it. It must be revealed by the Spirit. He always is a Spirit. He is the Spirit. And so it must be revealed by Him. It cannot come by a man's intuition or his intellectual capacity or his properties. It will not come that way. It has to be revealed. And when it is revealed, it is made known perfectly in a man's heart. He has no doubt at all. And what we have come up through the ages of time, it has been a tradition that has come by the Protestant or Catholicism, some way that is not predicated upon the power of the truth. How can you say that? Because the people are not free. They're still bound. They're still in bondage. And they have no liberty to truly worship the Father and to bring their sins before the altar. Because they are covetous. And because they're covetous, they cover their own sins and their corruption and their wicked ways. And so what Yahweh had to do, He had to reveal Himself in the power of flesh. He had to become flesh. And so He spoke unto a handmaid and said that I am going to assure the salvation of the hope of Israel in this tabernacle of yours. And she realizing the thing that had transpired, believe me, she knew that there were many gods. But there was only one true Elohim of Israel. And He had a name. And His name was not Baal. It was not Shemosh or Molech or Molcham. His name was Yahweh. She knew that. And so when He spoke unto her heart with a profound proclamation, she knew it was Him. She had no doubt. She was steadfast. She knew exactly the purpose of that thing that was being birthed in her. Now we need to understand that as well as He birthed in us the seed of faith. He puts a seed in our hearts. And that seed is the word of life. He is life. You can't find life no other way. He is. It doesn't come any other way. You can't find it. You're not going to find any religion. You're not going to find it in some kind of practice, a Buddha, a yoga. They're trying to find it in everything, but they're not finding it at all. Lives are miserable. There's no deliverance at all. And so they find some consolation for the moment. It has no enduring power or effect. Now what I want to do tonight, I do want to go back and retrace some of the things that I said on Shabbat. There's one particular scripture that I do want to reintroduce again. It is one thing about this generation. We have time, as I say this often, we have every time for everything, but to sit before the presence of Yahweh, that He may reveal unto us the importance of His truth. We say we love Him with our lips. Our mouths, we give Him mouth service. But when that thing is dear to the heart, or our hearts being applied to that, or we apply our hearts to what we say, we're far from Him. We serve Him with all kinds of accolades, but the heart is not enriched by those things. The heart is not sincere. It's not a pure love there. Now, I want to find out whether what the Father says, it is actually according to what He says, or it's wrong. It's either right or wrong, and you cannot take from that. I want to start in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. There's one particular word tonight I do want to stress, and that is the word written. W-R-I-T-T-E-N, written, or to write. Do you all know how to write? I will ask that question again. Do you all know how to write? So everyone in here can write, even Omega and Yohanda, little ones can write. They can subscribe things or inscribe things. So they can take a pen or a pencil and they can write. Now, why some of you all, as the scriptures are being introduced, that you write them down, are you not writing them? Are you not writing them? So you're writing them. So it must take an instrument that will create some legible characters that you can understand. Do you believe that? That's what written is. It has to be performed in a way that it is coherent. You understand what you're writing. Now, I do believe that Almighty Yahweh can spell in every language. I believe that. There's no language that is apart from Him that He cannot write in. Not one. So there's not one word that He doesn't know. Not one word. Not one meaning of any word that He doesn't know. For He is all-knowing. And He knows everything. And so when He allows us to understand the simplicity of words of that degree, then it ought not to be complicated for us to understand that truth. And how profound and how simple it is. It's a simple truth. But this is the generation that's very arrogant. It's very haughty. It actually believes that its intellectual prowess or power or capacity is much more defiant or stronger than the word of faith. And so men use their intellectual learnings and their ability to reason to try to overthrow the very profound truths of Yahweh. And it's not going to work, my friends. You're fighting a losing battle. I want to read that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. This is what the scripture says. John said, and I looked. We all can look one at the other. And when you look at something, there is a what? A perception. You can discern. If you look at your neighbor sitting next to you, you look. John said, behold, and I looked. Or I beheld the thing. I literally saw it. So when someone looks at something, they literally sees the capacity of that thing. So he let us know, first of all, that he looked, and my, lo and behold, a lamb. That's what he saw. Is he not in descriptive terms telling you what he saw? He saw a lamb. Isn't that so? It's scripture. You deny the truth, you take from this word that he's going to take from the blessings or your name from the book of life. He's going to add plagues unto you, my friends. John said, I saw a lamb. He stood on the Mount Sion. He saw exactly where the lamb stood. He saw exactly where his feet were imprinted, because he saw him at the place that he stood. It was so visible that he actually and literally saw the mount that he stood on, Mount Sion. He saw it. And with him, what an amazing thing. He saw 144,000. Does that take some kind of capacity, as Evangelist Horn would say often, capacity, for him to literally sit there and count that? It was revealed unto him as the Lamb was, whom he was. He knew exactly how many it was. He knew exactly the number. Now you can try that. There are times as the guineas began to roam, I try to count them. And I have a mathematical formula, the way I count them, that brings about an average of what I truly have. He didn't miss the number here. He didn't miss it at all. He saw that many. And yet it had to be revealed in that kind of a mind, that was the mind of Yahweh, that he knew exactly the number of those that were there. So he was not off by one. He was not off by five. There were 144,000. Do you understand that? 144,000. And the thing that he noticed above all things, he said, having his Messiah's father's name written in their foreheads. He saw a name written in each one of their foreheads. Now he saw the name written. And if you sit there and write your name, it is written. It is written. Now that's what John saw. He saw the Father's name. Well, what is the Father's name? That seems to throw us in a dilemma today in this religious world. What is the Father's name? Well, David tells us in Psalm 16:3 what the Father's name is and what one we ought to praise by his name. So he has a name, and the name must be made known unto his house. A child knowing not his father, that is a very horrible thing. You knowing you have a father and never knowing your father's name, that's very insulting and very horrible. So he knew his father. And scripture tells us that he knew his father. Not only did he know his father personally, but he talks about the attributes and the traits and the things that he was sent to do because of the father. And nothing he did of his own, he did everything that he heard the father speak unto him. So who is his father? What is his name? He told us when we pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there is a name that is a hallowed name. That's a name that is a sacred name. It is not a cursed name, but it's a very sacred name. And I won't be ashamed of that name either. You may, and you jeopardize your souls, but I will not be ashamed of his name. Not at all. What I want to do now, I want to define the word written for you. I want to define that. Oh, I know. You know what it means. But I'm going to define it. According to Merriam-Webster. And according to the Greek lexicon and the Hebrew lexical. All right? I will define it. To write. It means to express in written characters. To express in written characters. So there must be characters that are understandable by that one that is reading. Amen. To commit to writing, it is to write down, to record. To write to one, i.e. by writing in a written epistle, to give information, direction. It is used in the transitive sense, and that is to form as characters or symbols on a surface with an instrument as a pen, to form as words by inscribing the characters of on a surface. So in order for it to be written, it must be inscribed on a surface. Has to be. You're writing on paper, and so the paper is the surface. It is inscribed with pens or pencils. It must be characters that are legible and understandable, that you may understand. For it is written in the book. Is not this book written? And if it is not written, then you have no book of writings. Has he not written the law of righteousness or his laws in our hearts and in the inward parts? It is either he has done that or he has not done that. And so in order for something to be written, it must be inscribed on surface. And John saw the name of the Father written in the foreheads of the 144,000, the Lamb, as he beheld him in that splendor and that glory, and he saw the name of his Father, written in the first fruit, and these are the first fruit of the resurrection. These are those that have not spotted themselves with the world. They have not been given over unto sin and lasciviousness, concupiscence. But their hearts have been obedient unto the faith. They are submitted unto Almighty Yahweh with diligence of hearts. They have poured out of themselves their desire and their will
that they may please him in all things. And that is what we must do in order to have his name written in our hearts and written upon the tables of the heart of man, or our hearts, and in our foreheads, in the midst of our minds. We need to have his name written in our minds, that we think on it. We bless it. We love it. We praise it. We acknowledge it. For David said in Psalms 119 and 132, he said to Yahweh, look thou upon me. He said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. That's what David said unto Yahweh. As thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. He said, you be merciful unto me as you used to, as you have done in the past, unto those that love thy name. Now there must be a name that we must love, saints. And that name was there in the beginning. Now if the name was Jesus in the beginning, I have no compunction with that. But that was not the name at the beginning. The name was Yahweh. And the name has not changed. His name is a memorial unto him. And if you will read scripture and study them, as he said to Moses, you write this, even my name, whereby it shall be a memorial unto me forever. Amen. You take your concordance, and you look up the word write and written, and search those scriptures and see what it says, all right? And so John saw this profound writing in the heads of the saints, those that were elected according to the grace of Yahweh. Now, if we do not think that the writings or something written is not important, if it's not important, if you do not believe that, if you do not believe that it is important, that was what Messiah, what he said to Satan, it is written. It's written. Thou shalt not worship or have no other God before you. Only Yahweh shall you worship. Now he knew what was written. Now I want to read something from scripture. Now if this, the written part has no relevance, then this has no relevance either. No whatsoever. It is one thing he will do. He will show you your spiritual place. And after you've fallen, he will show us where we need to come up. He will show what things need to be established in us. We've established every kind of thing in us. We've established our own corruption. Our rebelliousness, our sin, our pride, our stubbornness. We've allowed those standards or those powerful beings to take strength in our hearts. Now, he's given us a law of righteousness. For the words that he speaks unto us, their spirit and their life. So everything Messiah spoke is spirit and it is life. And that's what the enemy does. He keeps you from the life of that because you reject what is written. And it is written in the scriptures. And that's why he has chosen, I don't care what this foolish generation says, he has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That's the only way. They're not going to be saved any other way. Because it's going to take faith to do in this hour. And you're not going to even have faith in you here unless you're preaching. You're going to have that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what this corrupt world tells you. You must be preached to. And that must be one that is vociferous, and he must cry aloud with the herald and let you know of the impending destruction and the coming of this great king. Now the scripture says in Luke chapter 10, now you tell me whether this has any relevance, whether it's true, or is it any strength unto your life at all? Luke chapter 10, verse 17. I want to begin reading. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Yeshua, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He came in the Father's name. There's only one name. There are not two different names. It is a name that is inseparable, and it's the same name. He said, even the devils are subject unto through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. He said unto those apostles and those disciples, he said, behold, in verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and he said, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, notwithstanding, I need to correct you. He said, in this rejoice not. This is a small thing. This is the heritage of those that know the Father and his name. He said that the spirits are subject unto you. Well, look at this. But rather, rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Now, do you believe your name is written in heaven? Do you believe your name is written in heaven? Do you believe your name is written in heaven? Now, if we rejoice over our names written in heaven, then we must rejoice over the name written. As the name was written in the 144,000. For there's a name that is written. If he takes care to make sure he writes my name, then he has a name that must be written in our hearts. Sure. He said, you rejoice because your name is written. No, it is inscribed in the kingdom. It is on the surface. Your name is written in heaven. He said, this is a small scenario here. That the demons are subject unto you, it's good. They fear the name, what they fear, for they know the name. For he was the one that cast them out of the heavens. And he hath bind them in outer darkness in chains unto the day of judgment. And there are some that have gone by. He allows them. He allows those even as he pulled back the carpet of this darkness above these heavens. He allows certain spirits to come into the earth. He does that. Amen. He does that. Amen. There will be no way that man could withstand if he had allowed everything that fled from his glory down upon the face of the earth. You couldn't make it. You couldn't. So Messiah said, I've given you power over that. Why? Because they know the name of Yahweh. Why? Because at that name every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess that he is Yahweh. He is the great Elohim. And so he said, that's not an issue. It's glad that you know that. But we're in an hour, you got to rejoice that your name is written. As the Father's name was written in their foreheads, in all 144,000, we got to rejoice that our names are written. Written. In the heavens. In the book of life. Now, if the word written with the 144,000 has no significance, neither does this possess any significance at all. So if this has grave significance, then that in Revelation 14:1 has the same significance. Why? Because I believe every word of Yahweh is pure. Every word. You cannot deny one component of it. You must receive it all. Because Messiah said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceeded or written of Yahweh. We must live by every word. Now, if that is the case, this has no bearings. It has no significance. If the written aspect, it being inscribed, has no power or has no purpose at all. I do not believe that Yahweh has taken the name of his servants, and the scripture tells us what our names were written. They were written before the foundation of the earth. You believe that? The scriptures say they were written. And if our names were written before then, he had a written name as well. If he has written our names before then what is the writing of his name or the right of his name? If he knew your name then, did he not have one? Sure he did. I will show you in scripture. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 22, I want to lay a little parameter here because I believe in the written word. Everything that we do in this life, it has some written laws with it. It is written. Our children's names are written. You get a birth certificate, the child's name is written. It is on the surface of that birth certificate. And whose name is there? The Father, and the mother. Now, if we have been birthed from above, then our Father's name is written on our birth certificate. We have a new life. We have been born again. So his name must be, he is a progenitor of the one that starts the family. It is started by the Father. And so if we have a new birth and a new life, then our Father's name must be on the certificate. For the certificate has Father's name. Does it not? And then the Father's name goes in that place where it says Father's name. And then it asks Mother's name. Well, we've been birthed from above by New Jerusalem. So we put New Jerusalem there. So we have a birth. And it's not a natural or carnal birth. It is a spiritual birth in the heavens. Now the scripture says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19. Hear the word of faith. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. You must first of all hear the prophecies of this book. He did not say those that read the prophecies of this book. He has sent a contingency of men to proclaim his power, his anointing, and his authority. He said, if any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Are there plagues written in this book? Are they written? Are the plagues written? And so is the Father's name written as well. And he has a name. His name is not Father. That describes his love toward his sons. A caring, compassionate one. It says in verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And that book that you possess in your hands or your hand, it is written. The characters are legible. And you understand that. So is the Father's name written as well. And it must be written in the pinnacle of our minds. It must be in his tabernacle. Do we not realize that our bodies are the temple of Yahweh? And if any man destroy the temple, Yahweh would destroy that man. Our bodies are the temple of the living Yahweh. And he dwells in this temple. And as his name was in the house that Solomon built, he has built a building that is more perfect than the house that Solomon. The scripture says, even the little lily of the field, Solomon in all of his glory, he did not array as one of these little lilies. Not one of them. Not one. His beauty was not as one of those lilies. It was not pure. It was not clean. And yet he has taken a man, and he has caused each of us to be the body or the temple of himself. That his name may be known in his temple as he put his name in the temple. That it will not be profane. That it will not be ostracized or spoken against evilly. And so it is in this temple that his name dwells in this earthen temple. And it ought to be written in our foreheads. In our hearts. And our thinking capacity. Everything is generated from here. Not that thing there that beats and supplies the blood to the body. This is the heart of man here. Everything is here. That thing supplies the blood to the body. This is where all emotions and all feelings come from here. You may think you sense it here, but it comes from here. And so his name was written in the foreheads of the 144,000. Now, where is his name written with you? Is it a name despised? Can you say, well, we don't know, but then you don't know if this has any validity. I would turn my face against it today. He has to have a name, and there is a name that is above every name. And in that name is the hope of the salvation of man. For the name of Yahshua is the salvation of Yah, the assurance of salvation. And the reason we have not known because we have been a lazy people. We have not given ourselves diligently to any kind of studying. That's the truth. I used to watch my mother in the natural sense. My mother used to do what they call, they play numbers. She had books and stacks of them where she would take numbers and the different ways she would write them down. I mean, she kept records of that very meticulously. Very meticulously. Every record of numbers that she played, those that had come out, those that she won money off, those that she put money on, that she did that very carefully. And I will watch that woman, I will watch her hours spinning there with that book, trying her chance at luck. And yet there was no time for prayer. There was no time to intercede before Yahweh. And yet she would spend hours on something like that. Well, this, it has not changed in this generation. It's the same thing. They will sit there all night and watch the Giants, I mean the New York Yankees and the Marlins play baseball. If it goes to 12 o'clock, they will sit there. And they will be consumed by their spirits. Why? Because the name of their God is written in their minds. And they give glory unto their God, whether you receive that or not. They give glory unto their God. And He's the God of sensual pleasures. He's the God of sensual entertainment. And they give reverence unto their God. And they do with obeisances. And they will bow before His instrument of destruction. And they will spend hours there. They give their mind, their thoughts, their hearts over unto that. And they're indoctrinated by that. Some will get up in the morning. They will be very rowdy. If their team lose, they will get up with spree in the morning. If their team wins, they will get up with joy, with effervescence. But if the team loses, they will get up with anger and hostility. So He shapes their minds, shapes their hearts, and so the Father does the same by writing it in our hearts. And He has given us assurance that that is our assurance, that our names are written. What an assurance, saints. Not just that He knows your name, but your name is written. Not just that He knows it, but He has painstakingly and carefully written it. And it's not confused with no other name. From the beginning, He wrote your name. And so if He has done that with us, written our names, believe me, He wants His name to be on our birth certificate too. As Nicodemus said, how could a man go back in his mother's womb to be born again? No, that is not the birth. There's a birth that's much more profound than that. It is a spiritual birth. It has no attachment to the flesh. You know, really, saints, a lot of us haven't really had that genuine born-again experience because we're fleshly attached. We're fleshly incest. That's our strength. And that is not my strength. Say what you will, say what you may. I know my strength. And it certainly is in flesh. It is in mother, it is in son, it is in daughter, it is in wife, it is in kinsman. No, it isn't. I will do right despite what she does. Because I love Him. I will not take His body and be a partaker of a harlot. I won't do that. I don't care if it's mother or grandpappy. It makes no difference at all. For I will not profane that name that is written in my heart. It is a holy name. I won't do it. I won't do it. And it makes no difference what man says. And I'm not concerned about that. No woman at all. They can hate me. I'm satisfied with that. They can disown me. That's no problem. They can despise me. That's well with me. It doesn't determine me one bit at all. It doesn't change me. It doesn't cause me to be emotionally spent. I'm not that way. Well, Pastor Roberts, we watch you get up there and cry sometimes. Sure, I do. For my heaviness is not for the world out there, not for those wicked ones. They despise Yahweh. It's for His house. That's why Messiah said, I pray not for the world. He said, these you gave me, I pray for them. But the world, I don't pray for them. He doesn't pray for the world. He simply continuously, as He said before the Father, making intercession for those whose names are written. Now, I want to show you the importance of that written, all right? Glory. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 13, we will see whether it's written or not. I believe what this says. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. The scripture says, and it was this dragon, this vile thing of darkness. It said it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And there's where the battle is. It is with the saints. All the wicked, they have no battle. They simply just give in. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He's going to overcome every aspect, every law that abides in us, except one law. And that's the law of righteousness. He's going to overcome your flesh. He's going to break it down where it has no strength to rise up against the Father. And that is one component of man that rises up constantly against the Father. And our own natural minds, we say, well, I don't like that. I don't think that that's appropriate. Would I not appreciate Pastor Robert saying that to me or even directing that to me? I don't appreciate that. They actually don't appreciate your way. Every son, everyone that he brings him, every son and daughter, everyone that he loves, he's gorgeous. He chasteneth. And he's not coming down from the glory of the kingdom because you will run from him. And he takes your stick and paddle your backside. He does it with his word. He corrects you this way. And if you know him, you will know his son. You can't say you know your son and know him. You can't say, quote, I know Jesus and not know the Father. You're a liar. That's the truth. Because that's what Messiah said. I'll read from scripture. It said, and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now that scares me right there. It really does. Now this is one verse in text I have read many times. I pray you always give me understanding and I will receive a revelation to this degree and one to that degree. But this one is always bad for me here. It has. He said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. We want to be here during that trial of affliction. I mean that all that dwell upon the earth, that their care, their compassion is in these sensual earthly things. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. He can't love your way. You can't love your sons, your daughters, your mother, your wives more than you love him. You love him above all things. And then you love your wife like you love yourself, as you love the committee, you love yourself, as you love this brother, you love yourself. Now that's not the love that is permeating to the end of that. It is the love of hypocrisy. It is one that is false. You love your daughter more than you love my son. I love my son more than I love your daughter. That is wicked. And that's a fact. That's a fact. You will do wrong for your son. You will shame the thing for your daughter. You will kind of twist things for your mama. Why not for me? Huh? You will watch your mother fall into a ditch and you will try to retrieve her. But you will watch my son, you will retrieve her. And yet we say we're neighbors. And the scripture says, love your neighbor as you love thyself. And to love your wife as you love yourself. Now, where's the disparity in that? Tell me about you always love. He loved Brother Dave more than he loved me. Is that love? His love is so pure that it is simply love. Now, express that to me. Explain that. Tell me, please. You can explain that. I have no compunction with that. I just know it's love. And that's the character of it. But it's not with hypocrisy or dissimulation. You look upon me differently than yours. It's not your way's love. That is a sensual carnal love. And he's going to get us away from that. I'm telling you, Satan. That's just the truth. That's the truth. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. They shall worship him whose names are not written in. Now, do you believe that aspect? He said, all those that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he saw 144,000 with his father's name written. Now, all those upon the face of the earth in this trial of great satanic power shall be unleashed upon the earth. And those that dwell upon the earth, everyone shall worship him, except those whose names are written. Amen. And their names must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names must be written. And every name that is not written, no, it must be written. And when it's written, it is inscribed with a pen. It has to be written. It can't be spoken, it must be written. And all those names that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all the names that are not written, they shall worship him. They shall worship this dragon, this anti-Messiah, this Satan personified. They shall worship him. And they shall show obeisance and reverence unto him. Why? Because their names are not written. And if the Father's name is not written in your forehead today, you're going to worship the spirit of this age. You're going to worship the world. You're going to give your mind over unto the world. That's why we've been what we call worldly folks that really call ourselves saints. We've been worldly. We've been given, yes, we have. We've been given over to worldly aspirations and desires. And so what he always doing is he must cleanse his house. He has to. That is what Messiah did when he came back with the apostles. He had to clean them up. That's why he couldn't allow them to touch him. He said, no, you can't touch me yet. Because I must go back to the Father first. That is where my cleansing process takes place, in the presence of Yahweh. In his presence. And so because we have not been in his presence, we have walked with vile mouths and foul spirits and unclean minds. We've carried things in our hearts that are detrimental to our spiritual growth. You can't keep no cyanide in your mouth and expect not to bite down on it and it doesn't kill you. So you walk around with cyanide and ricin and all kinds of poisonous things down in your soul. And this actually stunted our spiritual growth. We ought to be an excellent people. We ought to be a perfect people. We ought to resist every power of darkness. We ought to be able to truly bind Satan. We ought to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I believe that. We ought to be able to lay hands on the dead. We don't even have faith to even believe that. They're already dead. Why not have faith to do it? We have faith for really nothing. We don't even have really faith for salvation. And that's the truth. That's the truth, because if we truly had faith for that, then our minds will be steadfast upon him. It's going to take this kind of preaching to get us right. Whether you believe that or not. You can think highly of yourself all you want to. And say, I'm not like them. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I want to be like that little publican. Huh? That smote himself. Smite me. Let the righteous man smite thee. It shall be an excellent oil upon thine head. So not all righteous man. He smote himself. Not the Pharisees. He stood and said, I want. He said, look at my plastery. Have the laws here. I fast all during the week. The man can't even fast. No, I don't want to be like that. It's me, Almighty Yahweh. I'm the worst of them all. Standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of deliverance. I want him to know that. Glory. For there's no strength in this earthly vessel of mine, but what he puts here. And he must dwell in these earthly vessels in order for there to be any kind of strength. It's not going to come any other way. You're not going to oppose the power of sin and darkness without him dwelling in you. You can't do it. You can't do it. He came down every day to Adam in the garden and Eve. And yet he came down in the physical form. I believe they knew him. I believe they knew their Father, their Creator. He came down every day and he spoke to them. And so that servant of darkness, he came and he spoke to them too. And they sinned. And you always saw from the foundation that it's always going to be done unless I'm in them. And that's the beauty of it now. He dwells in his children. He dwells in there. Yes, sir. And so what he does, he gives us a word. Messiah, listen. He spoke nothing but what he had heard the Father speak. And if this is the written word of Yahweh, we can speak nothing but what the Father has written. He spoke nothing but what he said. I've heard the Father speak. That's all he spoke. He didn't speak nothing on his own accord. No, we don't do that. We do it all the time. We speak our corrupt minds, our corrupt feelings, our foul emotions. We speak that. He didn't do anything like that. The only thing he spoke was what he heard the Father say. He did do that. I'll read the scriptures. Let me move on. Revelation chapter 17, verse 7. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are the only ones that will not worship this beast government and the spirit of this age, this dragon. We're seeing him set up himself shortly here, and that thing we call Halloween. Isn't that something? Halloween. and how this Roman Catholicism has incorporated this trash and this vile, pagan, holy, damnable days that damn the souls of many. You know something is strange and wrong in their minds when they beautify darkness, when they relish in darkness, and they relish in these vile, evil things and these dark spirits. You know something is wrong. You know something is wrong when the parents, I won't even buy a stick of candy, anything that even has any identity to that trash. And give their children over to the minds, or their minds over to these vile things. You know something is wrong when they love these, what they call horror things, filled with horror. You know something is wrong. Something is wrong with their minds and their spirit. They don't know Yahweh. They have a law written in them, and it's not the righteous law. And there's a name written in them, and their foreheads. That's why they get their minds over to it. Revelation 17, chapters, verse 7 and verse 8. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. Listen in verse 8. He said, the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and he shall go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder what has happened. Who's going to wonder? Who will be the ones that wonder? Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. See, that's when the names were written. So did he know your name, Deborah Wagner, before the foundation of the world? Well, sure he did. For he had to write the name before the foundation of the world. He had to write it then. He saw Irene Miller before the foundation of the world. So he had to write the name then. He didn't write it in the process of time when she called herself, well, I'm repenting. The name was there from the foundations of the world. It was there. It was there. It was there. And so those names that are written from the foundation of the world, if your name is not written in that book, you're going to worship. You're going to give yourself over to this spirit, this beast spirit today. That's why men today are so beastly. The hearts are so beastly. There's no compassion, no caring. There's no concern about no one but me, myself, and I. It is a lust for greedy spirit in this hour. I thank you always that I'm not bound to that thing. And so everyone whose names are not written, they shall be given over unto that spirit. I'm telling you, it's important, saints. We read things like we read fairy tale books. We read the scripture like we're reading some kind of novel. And that's not how you read it. You study it. And if you want to find out how to study, you can come with me for an hour one day, and I will show you how I study. You search it out. You get a good understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. But in all thy getting, you need to get understanding. You need understanding. And so what you're always doing in this hour, this wellspring of life of understanding, he's opening it up to his people. That's what he's doing. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 20. There are quite a few verses here I'm going to skip down as I read. I want to read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Look what it says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was no place found for them. Listen to this now. He says in verse 12, and I saw the dead. You believe that? I do. Small and great stand before Yahweh. He said, and the books were open. You believe that? You believe the books were open? And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And that's what it says. He saw those having, in Revelation 14:1, his father's name written in. So if the dead are going to be judged out of those things written in the book, then the Father's name must be written in, just like it says, in the foreheads of his people. They're going to be judged out of those things that are written in. That's what it says, doesn't it? Those things written in the book. So he's writing down everything. You may not believe it. He's everywhere. It's one thing about Satan that I do know. He cannot be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He is not. He is not. He is not. But Yahweh, he's omni. He's everywhere. He's all in your thought, in your sleep, in your business, in all 6 billion plus people on the face of the earth. He's in everyone's affair. He is. He writes down everything. And nothing goes without being written down. And so John said, all of those, I saw them being judged out of the things that were written in. And so the Father's name was written in now. In that book, it was written in. Written in. You notice how these scriptures I am reading, they're not worship written in. Written in. So in specify a place or where it is. So it must be written in. In our hearts, in our minds, his name must be written there. Just like the deeds of what we've done are the wicked that will be judged. Dead, he saw the dead. Great and small, rich, poor, black, white. Makes no difference at all. They were judged by the things that were written in the book according to their works. And so it is written, saints. And if you believe that he has written it down in a book, according to our deeds and our works what we've done, then what about his name being written in the 144,000? And if his name was written in, that must be a name that is written. It can't be Lord, it can't be God, it can't be Father. It must be a name. He has a name. Glory. Drop down to verse 14. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You believe that? Oh, I do. It tells you the name must be written in the book of life. And whosoever name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So our names must be written in the book of life. So must the Father's name be written in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. It has to be. This world has desecrated its name. It has profaned it. Religion has done a job like no other thing to do that. And this thing we call Catholicism, the Catholic Church, you'll be surprised if you will simply just do a little history research and see the treachery ways of this whore and what she's done, how she's produced bastard children. Even Martin Luther, I understand, even as he made the statement, that thesis that he put on the basilicas, that was a common thing in that day. Anybody could do that. And yet there are many tenets of that Catholicism that he held true to. He held true to. Many tenets. Much of it. And that is what the Protestant church has done. This Protestant whorehouse. And they have done the same. They have denied the Shabbat. They tell you it doesn't make any difference. They tell you that's not how that should be interpreted. And so they train up their men, as we have all been trained in their ways. There's one thing that we were never done with us. We were not truly empty when we came to the Father. We should have been cleansed out. And the way you do that is has to be a time of laboring for him. Prostrate. No, we didn't do that. We came with an hour, 2 hours, a little night service. They labored. He sought short repentance carefully with tears and crying. He sought Yahweh for repentance. And there was no place for him to repent, sister. None whatsoever, saints. None. We got this religious move, this religious feeling. We all have been guilty of that, say what we will or what we may. We all have. And so what he's doing now, he's got to get these old vessels, these old wine bottles, he's got to get them cleaned up and make them new. He makes all things new. He doesn't do anything partial. He makes all things new. And so when he tried to put a little of this new wine in these old vessels, they broke. They couldn't handle it. I don't want that. I bless you, saints, you that have stood faithfully by me. I thank you. It's not simply me. You're standing faithfully by. You're standing faithfully by him. Because I stand for him. I come to do the will of my Father. And I know that because there's opposition when the enemy opposed that. Then I know that I'm encroaching upon him. And that name, he doesn't like that. Not at all. The hokey folks, they will have up there Christmas whorehouse signs. Jesus the reason, Jesus this. Sure they will. They don't know your way. They don't know him. They have no fear of him. None. This world. None whatsoever. And we that say that we're saved, we really have no fear of him. Because we don't hate our evil ways, our arrogance. We don't hate those kinds of things. You don't hate them. You do evil to a brother or sister, you think it's all right. You're going to hell. I don't care who you are. That's the truth. We have opportunity as saints to do good unto each other. But you have opportunity to do good unto. To every man, we do good unto all men. And then we have a special place we can do it unto the saints. Nice and kind and gentle. As much as we have opportunity to do good unto all men. Especially they're the house of faith. Especially. Preference. You think he's lying on that? Well, I don't feel like doing that. I tell you, your feelings are going to destroy you. And to hell quicker than anything. Your feelings. It's going to put more folks in darkness than anything. Their feelings. Their feelings. Because there ain't nothing good about your feelings. You feel like being happy one moment, you feel like fighting the next. You feel like loving one moment, you feel like despising the other. It can't be. That's a double-minded man. That's a double-mindedness in that feeling. You become very unstable. Yeah, the name must be written in. Glory to Yahweh. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 through verse 27. John said, and I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh our Elohim, Almighty El Shaddai, and the Lamb are the temple of it. He never denies one or the other. And this whorehouse today wants to deny the Father. Yes, they do. They deny the Father and all their prayer and everything. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of Yahweh did light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He says, just Yahweh's glory. And the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, that's what it says, and the nations of them which know Yahshua shall walk in the light of it. Why? Because Yahshua is the light of it. He's the light thereof. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, but all day, for there is no need of night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Look at this in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of light and the city of Yahweh. Only those whose names are written. Well, if our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, we believe that, then what is the Father's name, or what name was written in the heads of the 144,000? And if we are the first fruit after are we not the first fruit after Yahweh's resurrection? We are the first fruit of the resurrection. These are the first fruit of the resurrection. Are we not the first fruit? Then if we're the first fruit, then his name ought to be written as it is in the 144,000. And what religion has done is detracted us from that. It has removed us from that. It has actually made us lazy. It has made us a lazy people. We don't give any time unto your way. Got time for basketball? Time to lift weights? No time for him. Time for foolishness and laughter? No time for him. None whatsoever. And somewhere our priorities are messed up. We have messed up our priorities. He tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and all of its righteousness. We must seek that first. And we're seeking everything but that. We're seeking everything but that. And in that kingdom is the excellency of his name, because his name is the glory of the kingdom. When you walk in that place, you're going to know that he is the boss. For it is his glory that lightened it. And Messiah is the light thereof. Why? Because he is just simply the light of his glory. That's what he is. He came to glorify the Father. He came to make known his name. For his name had been rooted out of the minds of men. And so he had to come and make it known. He didn't need to make God known or Lord known. There were many lords and many gods. He had to make that name known. That's what he came to do. They forgot his name in the pagan worship. The pagan ways. That's why those Jews picked up stones one time, and they picked up stones again to stone him. That's why some of you all stone him. You stone that name. Stone me. That's all right. I can handle the stones. I'm a preacher. And I sure don't feel tired, Chad. Well, you're weak. That I am. That's why I say I'm strong. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. You are absolutely right. I am a weak man. I have no strength of myself. None. I have no strength I can glory in. None whatsoever. I'm talking about even natural strength. I don't even have any natural ability to glory in that. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. So I just say, I'm weak, Father. And because I identify my insignificance, that his strength can abound in me in a mighty way. I have no problem with that. Because Messiah came to make known the glory of the Father. Now, I want to read some scriptures. As he talks about his Father and nothing else. And how he identifies him and his purpose that was only found in the Father. His witness was from the Father. Because if his witness had been of himself, then his witness would have been untrue. Even the Pharisees knew that. Even he said to him, it's written in the scriptures. Come on, if I bear witness of myself, then my witness is false. So he had to have a witness of the Father. That's why they wanted to kill him. Because his witness came from Yahweh. Our name's written. Rejoice not because the demons are subject. Rejoice because your names are written. And his name is written, saints. It has to be. The scripture says in John chapter 6. I want to move expeditiously, all right? John chapter 6. Messiah, he realized how they were murmuring and staggering at what things he said. So in John chapter 6, verse 65, he said to them, it is the spirit that quickeneth. He said, the flesh profit nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We can have life without the Father. No, you can't, saints. Because if you have life without him, you don't believe the witness that he sent of himself. And Messiah is the witness that the Father sent of himself. And he had to send a witness of himself to let folks know who I am. My name is Yahweh. That's my name. You better get that straight. You better get that right. And we better get it right, too. So he says here in John chapter 6, verse 65, listen to this. And he knew that there was some that didn't even believe him either. And he knew exactly who would betray him. He knew that there was some that didn't believe. And he knew who would betray him too. But he says in verse 65, and he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me. Do you hear that? He said, no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of who? My Father. He said, they can't even come unto me unless it was given unto them of my Father. then who is his father? Every father has a name. Every father. Every father has a name. Del Abner, he will know Del Rainey as his father. Dorfus Yoshoya will know Dorfus as his father. Jeremy Martin here, he knows Elder Martin as his father. So every son has a father. And the father has a name. Even though the child may be born illegitimate, he has a father. Now, no two women produce that. Must be a father. Has to be. And the father, all fathers, possess names. So does the Heavenly Father. He has a name. And it's not Lord. And it certainly isn't God. He has a name. He said, you can't even come to me unless Yahweh draws you. And that's the only way. That's why folks cannot. For he is the one that has written the names in the Lamb books of, in the Lamb book of life. So look at this application. He said, first of all, he must draw you. John chapter 8, verse 19. As they began to dispute his record, he knew that he said that if he bear witness of himself, then his record was false. He had a true witness. John chapter 8, verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? They asked him, where is your father? Is that not what scripture says? They asked him, where is your father? You should answer. Listen to this. Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. So don't tell me hypocrites. I don't care what this word of hypocrisy say. I know Jesus. They're liars. They don't even know that name. Because if they did, they would know the Father. For he came in the Father's name. One name. Inseparable. For the name is one. Your way. Yoshua. Salvation. He said, you're a liar. You don't even believe me, because if you believe me, you would believe my Father. And because you don't believe me, you can't believe my Father. No, you can't, saints. That's what this is what they call oneness doctrine. These apostolics and their foolish doctrines. That's what these women call themselves preachers. These men, they're so foolish. They scat. Because I just don't believe that that's right what you said. And so they go and predicate something on just one little thing. And because they're so twisted, they twist everything they do. Everything. Everything! They twist everything. They make it a fallacy. That's what they do. No, the folks in there, no, you must be in him. You can't be out inside of him to be saved. You must be in him. And he has to write it down. He says, David, no, sir, I don't find that name. David who? Robert? Not found in the record. I don't want to say that to me. He's entrusted me with something so valuable. Not my life. Not my health. With his son. And that son came to bear witness of the Father's name, I'm telling you. I don't care what we've learned, saints. What we've been taught. The things we're just going to have to abandon. Throw it out. He came to bear witness of the Father's name. He had, in order for you to have a witness of something, you must have a name to bear witness of it. You just couldn't say, I come to bear witness of the Father. Well, what is his name? That's why they asked him, what is the Father's name? Tell me. What is he going to bear witness of? I come to bear witness of God. Oh, all right. We can buy that one. No problem with that. The king does that. He called out a name that they knew. That Moses, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob had talked about him. They had written of him in the scriptures. And this man came to say he bear witness of him. He come in that name. Kill him. He speak heresy. He said, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, you should know my father also. John chapter 8, verse 49. Look down in verse 49. Yahshua knew that they couldn't convince him of no sin. He knew that. Which of you convinces me of sin, as he said? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? But he says in verse 48, John chapter 8, verse 48, Yeshua said, he answered and said, I have not a devil. He said, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father. And ye do dishonor me. He said, I honor the Father. You dishonor me. Don't tell me you can honor Messiah when you can't even honor the Father. Because he honored the Father. You must honor the Father. And if you honor Messiah, you will honor the Father. Why? Because he came in the Father's name. Know the name. John chapter 10, verse 17. I want to read verse 15 first. John 10, verse 15 first. And then I will drop to verse 17. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He said, that's why my Father loved me, because I laid down my life. Now, we don't lay down our life. Says we don't lay down nothing. We don't lay down our tongue, our sins, our corruption. We pick up our hatchets, our ways, our flesh. Pick up your manhood, your womanhood. No, I want that at the cross, because it ain't worth a nickel, worth a hog's meat. I want to pick up my cross daily and follow him. That's what I want to do. I want to bear the cross. I want to sense that blood running down my back of those stripes that he bore in Calvary for me. I want to be saved. I'm not here playing some kind of church oddity. That's not my purpose. I'm here. I want to know the truth. And I don't care what things I've learned, what I've known. If truth is truth, I will buy it. And I won't sell it. You may sell it. You can sell it for your flesh. You can sell it for your mama, your dad, and your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters. I won't sell it. I will not sell it. I won't sell it. Even in my ignorance and my ways of unlearned, I did not sell what I had learned. No, not even for mama. I won't sell it. Oh, I'm possessing you, your souls. That's it. You ain't going to have no mama going with you. Papa. Sister. Nobody. You got your soul. That's it. And I'm not going to sell it for a few little trinkets. A few little emotions. Not me. He'll stand with me. He will. He's brought even us this far by faith. And you that stand with me, only because you have a sense of the vision, what he is doing. That's not a reason. That's what many have forsaken. He knew who would forsake him and who would betray him. He knew that. He did. You think you knew, Pastor? I knew exactly everything I needed to know. I did. I'm not surprised at nothing happening. It doesn't shake me. It really doesn't. Well, I saw you crying. I did cry too. Sure I did. I'm grateful that he keeps me. And he shows me constantly what he's going to take in this book as I study it. I seek his face. Yahshua said as far as my house and me, you're going to serve Yahweh. She doesn't want to serve him. She's not a part of my house. You don't want to serve him. You're not a part of my house. Those that are in my house, they're in his house. Because I dwell in his house. And I'm going to serve him. I need that change. Glory. Let me move quickly. I want to finish up. John chapter 10, verse 32. I will move drop down to verse 32. Look what he says. Yahshua answered, John 10:32. Yahshua answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. And that's where he says, show the works come from his Father. For which of those do you stone me? Verse 32, quickly. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He said, if I don't do what you always command me, don't even believe me. Don't even hear what I say. Even before then, the Jews that took up stones to stone him again, because they said, who is your Father? And someone says to you, I'll never forget when I met some of my acts. And there was a woman by the name of Miss her name was Elizabeth Gomez. She always thought that I was her brother's son. She never had children. And because I never know my natural father, it didn't bother me. The old woman treated me nice. She loved me. So I let her believe that. I did. I did. And so when he died, I went to the funeral with her. I was 23 years old, 24. I never forget. That was the first time I actually saw my natural father, 24 years old. I didn't speak to him. I saw him from a distance, but from here to this wall back there. And one of his sisters, she looked at me. She looked at me and she says, who be you, boy? That's how she told me. Well, I knew because my mother had told me that my papa was from that side. She looked at me and she said, who be you, boy? She said, who be your daddy? And of course, Miss Gomez said, oh, that's what you call boy. She said, boy, who be your daddy? Who's your daddy, boy? She said, oh, because I'm concerned about her feelings. And I knew that man, that dad, wasn't my papa. I knew he wasn't. He's a little short man, portly, big belly. He's a little short, portly man. I knew he wasn't my father. So the woman came out, who be your daddy, boy? Tell me, who be your daddy? She said, boy, you're Nichols. Who? Of course, she, Miss Gomez, said, no, this ain't. This is my brother, boy. This ain't. I said, father, please get me out of here. I was embarrassed not because I didn't know the man. I didn't even know that one. She said, was my daddy. I was embarrassed for her because I was hurt for her. I really was. It didn't make me any difference at all, really. It did not. And yet, she had the ability to discern that she knew that that wasn't. She said, that ain't your daddy, boy. You are Nichols. Why? Because I had all the features. I looked just like him. I looked like him. Physically, my expression. I looked just like the man. She said, no, sir. That ain't your dad and the dad. You look like a Nichols boy. That's, you're always our father, then we look like him, too. We walk like him. We talk like him. We act like him. Was he not Yahshua's father? So he did the father's will. Everything he did was to please the father. He did. Quickly. John chapter 14. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to close here. John chapter 14, verse 7, he said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and ye see him. He said, if ye had known me, you would know the Father. Well, who is the him he's seeing? They're two different people? Just one. And the name is the same. Yahshua. The salvation of Yahweh's people. He says in verse 12 of the same chapter, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. He says in John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's so herein is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. In verse 23, John 15, he said, he that hateth me, hateth my Father also. So if you hate the Father, you hate the Son. You hate the Father's name, you hate the Son's name. You hate the Son's name, you hate the Father. That's just the truth. Herein is Yahweh glorified. He said it like that. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not him being glorified, but the Father. He said, herein is my Father glorified, because he knows that the works that have been done in this body, to bring glory unto his name. And that's what the work was done for, to bring glory unto the Father's name. And his name must be glorified in the earth, saints. And I know our religious traditions and our feelings, how they swamp us down, but it's still the truth. Amen. His name is written in the foreheads. And if his name is written, and our names are written, it is the same. Either our names are not written, or there are no names to be written. Or his name, there is no name. Name is a very vital part. It's a very significant aspect. It is. And so is the Father's name. And Satan has done all he can to remove that, even the thought of that. Unless the Messiah come for those that are written, then we all are going to be lost. There's no hope. He must come. And the time is now. We want him to be glorified. And herein is he glorified. Then we bear much fruit. We can't bear the fruit of the flesh. We've done enough of that. We must bear the fruit of the Spirit, of righteousness, love, peace, joy, meekness, kindness. We must bear that. If you don't bear that, then the Father is not glorified. And nothing glorified but flesh. May Yahweh bless you, keep you whole. I pray that the word was a strength to your heart.